Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
The Bench.
The Bench.
On ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, we are back from a grueling, grueling week. Glad to be back this morning here talking sports and whatnot here on ESPN 97.5. What's up, boys? How was your little vacation?
Well, we were back on Friday talking.
Yeah, you had 2 days, though.
Yeah, on a vacation.
It was kind of a vacation, 2 days.
No, I was up here.
Well, Dell was off. I mean,
no, Dell worked. You were the only one.
Well, yeah, but not really worked. I mean, he had. It was a fun time. He and Pat Creighton and Jason Braddock.
You were the one that abandoned the city in the middle of an 8-game win streak and a Rockets playoff run. Abandoned the city.
By run, do you mean 2-1? Actually,
yeah. They were in the midst of 2-0 before. And then
do you have room to talk?
No, I was just saying. You took off too.
Aren't you leaving? Yeah. No, forget about what he's doing. What he already did. Aren't you leaving the day after the Texans opener?
Mm.
I don't think so.
What day are you taking off? September 11th, right?
Oh yeah. As long as I can get a system, I can do it. As long as they give me a Comrex, I'm fine. I just have to have one.
Oh, you're gonna do the show? You said you're taking it off.
Well, I didn't know if I had, but as long as I forgot we have the air cards now, where we don't have to have a plug-in, so I should be good.
Oh.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. After the Texans opener, the biggest day in Texans history?
I don't know. Are we going to play football since there was 150?
Yeah.
No, guess what? 77 tests came back all negative.
False positives.
I know. It's a joke.
No.
False positives.
Yeah.
And now people are using this, by the way. It's like, hoax.
Mm-hmm.
Knew it. A lot of these tests nationally have been false positives. Everyone, that's the new thing. It's like,
you see,
most of these positive tests, probably of these 6 million, probably at least 5 million are false positives.
Maybe. We don't know. Or so maybe the death rate is actually higher than we thought.
So it turns out that there was one place in, New Jersey or Philadelphia? No. So Philadelphia? No, it's New Jersey. There's a lab in New Jersey. It's the same. This lab, they've got multiple labs, and one of the ones the NFL was using in New Jersey was popping an insane amount of false positives, like anywhere from 6 to 10 for multiple teams. Miami, Minnesota, the Jets, they had a list of the teams and how many positives they had. So they were like, wait, something doesn't look right. So they had to reassess, and they had to go back and look at these positives and have them rechecked, and it turns out that pretty much all of them are false positives. The NFL has had, out of 3,000, they've had 4 positive tests so far, out of 3,000 tests. So you can do the math on that. That's an extraordinarily low number, below 1%, extraordinarily low. And their bubble is working. The bubble, guess what, folks? It happened. They're in their own little bubble. It's working. NBA has an actual bubble. It worked, and it's working. Baseball, after a slip-up where people found out, oh, wait, this really can go sideways on us if we go out and do stupid stuff, it's working now. Sports can work. In the MLS, worked. Premier League, it worked.
Mm-hmm. Well, the MLS is back to playing regular season games in their home cities now. That started
But there's no fans,
week.
Right?
No fans, no. Right. But they are now making it work in normal situations.
Well, I think if you're just smart about it, just smart. I mean, I know of an executive with an NBA – with an NBA team. There was an executive with an NBA team that he was invited to a dinner, and he just said, I can't do it. I can't be out in public. I just can't do it. No. But it's just smart. It's just smart.
Yeah.
It's just smart to not do that and be and put yourself at risk and put your organization at risk and all of that stuff. And if guys are smart, unlike, Clevenger and –
Please act.
police act, then you know what? Then you're going to be fine. Look
but
at,
for the most
look
part,
at
they have been.
Look at now. St. Louis is fine. The, Miami's been fine. Miami's still in
but
the second place.
Look how fast it went sideways on
you. Yeah, oh, right.
It went sideways fast. It can go sideways on you quick if you screw up. If you don't screw up, it's, you know, it's kind of forgotten about. Now, St. Louis maybe has 10 games now. They got a lot to make up. We'll see how they do. But, you know, the Astros up to this point haven't had issues other than injury, and that's something. You were gone. Yordan's done for the year. We got to, it was cool seeing him that one game, though.
Yeah.
That was cool seeing him that one game. But Yordan,
that home run, that was awesome.
The entire year, so yeah, he's done. Alex Bregman is on the injured list. Brantley came off yesterday. There's Justin Verlander. It's more of the same thing. We're like, he's looking good at this. He's catching and he's pitching and he's throwing a ball and he's catching. So, yeah, we saw Monday, Wednesday. It looks pretty cool. We're halfway through the season. This is going to be the slow burn and delay while he waits and sees what the Astros look like, probably, to decide whether he wants to pitch through it. This is my guess.
Mm-hmm.
And if it doesn't look good, and how can it look good when you're 0-8 against teams with winning records this year? You're 0-3 against the A's, 0-3 against Padres, 0-2 against the Dodgers. You're not a good team. I mean, you're not a good team. You have some guys who pop, and we find reasons to try to be excited. Kyle Tucker's hitting the ball better. Altuve starting to hit the ball better. None of this is good enough. None of this is
no. They're just not good enough. They're not good enough.
There's not enough talent on the team. There's too many injuries. It's just not good enough. I don't see Verlander coming back. I don't see a reason for him to try to come back, to be honest with you. And once again, we're halfway through. We're 30 games in. 15. Well, they're not. They're what, 15-13 right now. So they're getting close to 30 games in. And once that happens, I don't see a reason for Verlander to try to push through if he's got this serious an injury that, you know, they're just checking up on him on catch sessions. It doesn't sound like he's anywhere near ready to pitch.
No. And you know what? Chandler Rome is probably right. I mean, he probably will be shut down for the year. But, you know, he's trying to come back, which is neat. And Altuve is starting to hit again. And Kyle Tucker looks okay. And that's about it. No, the team isn't very good. 0-8 against teams with winning records, like you said, it's just not very good. It can beat up on Lambs. It's still in second place, but it doesn't mean anything. They're not doing it. This team isn't doing anything. Now, who has a better chance? Who has a better chance of advancing, Oklahoma City or Dallas?
Dallas. I think Dallas does. Oklahoma City, you know. Oklahoma City needed James to foul out. James has had two bad games in a row. We'll certainly talk about that. But they needed James to foul out, and then at 104 points, the Rockets couldn't get off 104 points. I mean, they were dead in the water in the overtime after that. But they needed some help. They just don't look like they match up that great. Right now, Kawhi Leonard is faced with battling an alpha superstar who's only 21 years old. And as my buddy Michael Bennis texted, it's a pretty good text. He said, Luka is the guy we all wanted to be when we were in our driveways practicing. And I knew what he meant, meaning that's a guy who you knew who's a good athlete, not a great athlete, but a good athlete. He's definitely a solid basketball athlete relative to being able to get his own shot. He's just that. No one wanted to be like, I wasn't a Larry Bird fan. I like Magic Johnson. I like Clyde. I like Dream. You know, those guys. Those were my guys. But I understood the sentiment that Larry Bird was not a guy. If you were a white guy who wanted someone to emulate, Bird was was clunky. He wasn't smooth. If you had any smoothness to you, you didn't want to.
No.
Like Bird had that nasty mustache.
It's just a lot of
negative stuff.
No, nobody. And that body, everything. Yeah. No, there was nothing.
That wasn't the guy you wanted to be like, man, I want to be Larry. Unless you're from Boston.
Or Indiana.
Yeah, or Indiana.
Right. Yeah, because there was a lot of people that looked like Larry Bird in Indiana.
When Michael said that, like, we all wanted to be, we didn't know it, but that's who we were aspiring to be, was like, hey, I may not be a great athlete, but I'm not bad. I'm pretty nice with the ball in my hands. I can shoot it. And Luka right now is just, I mean, Luka's 21 and he hit, if you missed it, with just over 3 seconds. They're down. They were down 135. They're down one. Yeah, 35-33 was the final. So it's 133-132. Luka caught the ball left, came off a screen, top of the key, caught the ball on the inbounds pass, jab step left, crossover right, brought it back left, and then straight into a step back. and from about, I don't know, 3 feet behind the three-point line, nailed it at the buzzer and turned and then, you know, did his little Hulk move. The bench erupted, ran onto the court, and he had 43 points, 17 boards, and 13 assists. I mean...
That's a pretty good game.
Against Kawhi Leonard and Paul George. Yeah.
Well, in the playoffs.
Let's call him Pandemic P. We can call him that. Paul George, that playoff P thing came from Paul George, by the way.
Yeah.
Because when he got to OKC, I guess right before the playoffs, he goes, oh, you guys haven't met playoff P yet. And everyone starts laughing.
Yeah.
He's Pandemic P. He, and by the
and
way.
He's getting salty with everybody, too, about I don't care what people think about all the haters.
Well, he took a shot
like,
at James. He goes, look,
yeah,
I
took a shot at James out of, for I no can, reason.
Yeah, right.
He goes, I contribute more than just shooting. Well, stop shooting because you're 3-14 in your next
Unlike
game.
Unlike James Harden. Like, James is like, what?
Hey, yeah, but I'm just over here. What the hell?
I'm just having a little casual thing gets the Thunder trying to beat Chris Paul. Now you're taking shots at me?
Who led the league in steals?
Well, James.
James.
See, apparently, now James has had shots taken at him by NBA superstars. Well, Paul George, yeah, whatever. But Giannis took shots at him.
Nope.
Talk about a lack of respect. I mean, he's an MVP. He could have won it 2 or 3 times. People don't care.
James doesn't care.
There is a lack of respect for James relative to what that level of superstar usually gets, where people have openly. Now, the thing with that thing they say some of that with Giannis is really aimed at the Rockets. With as soon as he won the MVP, the Rockets account's like, yeah, great, but we think James should have won. Like, which was pretty classless to come in right after an MVP to immediately say why that guy shouldn't have won and James should have won. You got to let it alone. We know the Rockets cape up for James more than any team in the history has ever caped for any player.
Yeah,
ever.
I don't know if that was what it was about. I don't think that's what it was about.
Giannis in an article this year said he didn't think that was like he was surprised the Rockets.
Yeah, but I don't think that players think that James. I think they all look at James.
I think it's probably both. Yeah, I mean, for Giannis, that really ticked them off. But, yeah, I think they view James as being a great offensive player. But maybe
Paul George could have said that about anyone, and he picked out James for whatever reason.
I don't know why he picked that out with James, and he keeps shooting terribly. Yeah, Pandemic P is a really not great player. Rockets lost, but I don't feel bad. I feel – you know what concerns me is that Lu Dort is – this is an issue for James Harden right now. Dort is a really emerging defensive talent, and James is struggling with Dort right now. He doesn't struggle. It's as soon as he gets Schroeder on him, it's a nightmare for Schroeder.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I've texted you about it, texted our dearly departed Raheel about this multiple times. Maybe it'll take Steven Adams being gimpy because we heard that he couldn't come back in because of contusion for Billy Donovan to wake up. You can't have Dort and Adams on the floor. I mean, I'm not charting this. I just watched the games. But notice how many bad things happens to OKC when they try to force the ball into Steven Adams.
Yeah.
How non-productive they are. If you're going to have Dort on the floor, which you have to guard James, you can't have Adams on the floor either. You have two non-offensive threats. If you got to make Danilo Gallinari your small ball five for most of the game, so be it. Because you got to have your three guards on the floor.
I hope they don't because it's a much better lineup.
Yeah. I know what you're saying about matchups. That's a bad matchup, their normal lineup, because apparently the Adams on the floor with the three guards lineup is one of the best in the NBA, but not
in
the playoffs.
Is that closing?
Yeah, that's what their closing lineup is.
See, I would get away. Because,
but you have to get away from it in this series.
Yeah, I would get away from it because this is a very specific matchup, and you've got Dort, who is a terrible shooter, but well, he's not a great shooter. He's not even a good shooter, I mean. But Dort is such a good defender because he's a rare match of quickness and physicality, which is hard to find for James. To find that kind of size, and Billy Donovan talked about his strength in his lower body, which is a classic basketball thing. Like I wouldn't have even thought about that, but that is a big deal. To be able to match James is when James bumps you, to be able to have some base and something solid to bounce back against James physically is important. You look at from a playoff standpoint, I'm looking at his last couple games, and James has been plus 13 in that win, but he didn't shoot it great, and then minus 12.
But he was plus. I think Jeff Green were the only two that were plus in the last game.
So James is, in the last two games, is 5 of 24 from 3. More problematic than that, though, is Eric Gordon.
Oh, my gosh.
Now, James also hit a couple in the fourth quarter. or that wouldn't even be 5 of 24.
Right. And, I mean, and Gordon just keeps on jacking up, and from where? 2 for 10 Gordon in this last game.
Gordon had a great game in game one, and man, since then it is not great.
All right, it's 7:14 ESPN 97.5. We got a long way to go. We'll talk more Rockets basketball on the other side if anybody's got anything they want to add. 713-780-3776. Let's take a break here. 713-780-3776.
Your home for sports is ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Finney Smith to inbound. Back to Doncic. Doncic pulls up, three-pointer. Bang! Bang! It's good! Doncic wins the game at the buzzer! The Doncic masterpiece is complete. Lucamania alive and well here in Orlando.
What a shot.
I went back multiple times to hear what Breen... What was Breen saying? It sounds like he says, burn, burn. What's he saying?
Double bang, bang, bang. He said it twice. That's all.
What is he saying?
Bang, a bang. That's his
call. Oh, he's saying bang. Okay.
Yeah. And he just did the double.
The way he said it, I couldn't understand what he was saying.
He was excited.
He was excited. But not nearly as excited as the Mavericks play-by-play guy. Holy crap. He was really, really excited. Yeah, that's a great, I mean, that's a huge, that's, I mean, ESPN just loves it too. That bitch ass white boy hitting that shot.
if you missed it, that's not just John taking a shot at Luka.
It sounds like
it's Montrezl.
Montrez. And they had a come wait, together
what?
Before the game.
I didn't catch Montrez. What
Montrezl was hits a shot early on. It was like 15-13 or something. And he's backpedaling. He goes, bitch ass white boy.
Well, this series has been
racially. Harmonious race relations.
This series has been very contentious, partly because there are no fans, so you hear everything.
Yeah.
And Patrick Beverley's not tired from playing, so all he can do is talk. And they have a bunch of talkers in that Clippers team. So every time Luka makes a shot down at their end and he thinks he gets fouled, he's screaming and one directly at a player or the bench. It's the whole Seth Curry called Paul George a bitch ass. I think some people think he used the N word at the end too.
No.
And the connection there is Seth Curry is now married to Paul George's ex, who used to be Doc Rivers, who is Doc Rivers' daughter.
Ooh, and, oh, wow.
And Paul George cheated on her with the stripper.
Oh, that's the stripper. That's the one he cheated on with the stripper.
Wow.
Who's now pregnant, right? Or is this a different?
That might be a different. I'm not sure. But yeah, the daughter is
drama.
The daughter is Doc Rivers' daughter. The late, the woman is
too much. Seth Curry married Paul George's ex,
who happens to be Doc Rivers' daughter.
This is too much.
And
God,
Doc Rivers
too much.
Had to acquire Paul George or Pandemic P.
You never have
for
anything
Shea
like
Gilgeous
that.
Alexander, Danilo Gallinari, and like 5 first-round picks. And Paul George is playing like he's playing. So all of those things are involved here.
Wow, how is that dynamic in there with Doc and holy crap?
It would be better if he shot better. He's shooting better.
That has got to be, you know.
Yeah, so Doc is, during the summer, well, if a normal summer, would be hanging out with Seth and his daughter. Maybe they meet up. And then when right when training camp shows up, oh, this is the guy who cheated on my daughter with the stripper. Now he's on my roster.
Oh, goodness gracious. That is just way too much drama. Way too much. And especially when you're playing like crap. You could handle it if Paul George was dominating. Oh, it's okay. It's all right. Honey, don't worry about it.
Yeah, it's okay.
Daddy's just going to like him for a little while.
And win a title, possibly.
Yeah, that's all. Daddy's going to get a ring with him, but not this. Let's get John in here. Let's talk about Montrezl and Luka. What do you say, John?
Yeah, but before the game, Montrezl Harrell, and he went up to the Luka and, of course, made his apology. But we all know if the tables were switched – Luka would already be suspended, and he wouldn't even have the opportunity to
still
apologize.
Yeah, we also know, but I got to say this. This is like, if you play basketball, this is... Being called white boy this, that. I played a lot of ball when I was younger. On playgrounds where it was a little rougher or whatever, where I was the only white guy, you hear stuff like that. It didn't fade me, and it didn't. Luka, in real life, these guys on the football fields, that's why I always think people don't really want to know how the sausage is made, because everyone would be clutching their pearls nonstop if they heard the comments that people made to each other on a football field in athletic games. People who play pickup ball know that Luka's not going to take that any kind of way. Now, you know, the idea that had Luka been caught saying that, yeah, that would have been an issue. And so Montrez should be called out by people, you know, that's fine. But for the guys who are actually playing, they don't. I mean, that's just talking. They don't really care. You have to front. It's kind of like
it is true, but it's tired. It's tired. Yeah. If he'd drop an N bomb on him, yes, it would have been an issue. He called him a white boy. Oh well, no one cares. No one cares.
White people aren't offended.
We're not offended. I mean, so stop being offended, John. What are you offended for? Called him a white boy. Are you offended by it? No, you're not. You just want to make sure that there's equal justice out there.
No, Charles Barkley said, Montrez Harrell, he said, you don't get to have a double standard. That's fine. In this day and age particular, you probably need to say, look, just stop dropping race. Stop making negative racial statements about
people. Yeah, but guess what? He's not going to get suspended. He's not going to
But for the players, it's not, Luka's not going to care.
Mm-hmm.
The guy who's... Luka doesn't care. That's basketball talk on the court.
He appeared very affected when he dropped 43 on them.
Maybe he got mad. Montrez made him mad.
Maybe. But I don't think people keep talking about this and like, how can the Euro get through all this trash talk? Luka came up in Slovenia. I'm sure he's seen.
Yeah.
Worse
people
things.
Don't know what that trash talk looks like.
Yeah. Or just living in Slovenia.
There are some handguns involved in that trash talk.
Yeah. I'm sure the point's been brought up because of Luka and other players that, because Europeans got that reputation of being soft. And then people are like, how could you call these guys soft? You know what type of countries they had to grow up in to make it out? Are they really soft?
No.
Yeah, no.
This guy's. Luka is just different. When I watch him as a rookie, I saw him doing stuff and I likened him to like, because, you know, I'm trying to go cross-racial comparisons. I was like, you know, he reminds me of Tracy McGrady in terms of how he plays. He's not as explosive as Tracy, but from a skill, but he's way more skilled than Tracy from a shooting standpoint. But he plays like Tracy's game, you know, controls the ball, can get people, can rebound, can get people involved. He's just extremely mentally tough. He doesn't show any signs of mental weakness, and a lot of that is going to come from his background and what you talked about, Dale. These guys who come from other countries where he's playing grown-up men's basketball.
Early.
He said it was harder to score in the EuroLeague than in the NBA. He said, I found it harder to score in the EuroLeague because, you know, A, he was also younger and they were older, but the NBA has so much spacing, it allows him to do more. It allows him more opportunity. So, yeah, I think there is something to be said for some of those Euro players who are coming over who have been playing with grown men for a while. It's not as big a deal to them because the physical challenges that can also lead to intimidation, they're past that. Yeah, if they've made it past that, they're good.
Much like in soccer, there aren't the age restrictions. Well, you're 16, so you have to play with 16-year-olds. Right. Well, you can become a professional very young, and you watch the best players in the world. They go over to Europe to train, and they're in these academies starting at 12, and it's a professional environment from a very young age. And that same thing with Luka. He didn't have the high school where he was the best player on the floor every time he stepped on the floor. It's a different breed, and watching, I mean, I don't care for the Clippers just because I don't, but I don't like Dallas either. But just watching Luka play, people are like, how can I buy a Luka jersey without it being a Mavericks jersey? Is there a way I can get like his Real Madrid jersey?
I like watching him play. I mean, he's a fun guy to watch play, but it's a Mavericks, and I wouldn't get a jersey anyway. But, you know, at the end of the day, he is a Mavericks player. So
I just like I wanted the letters with the little U under it, and then the accent mark. You got to put all that stuff on there every time you see it. You got one, a Doncic.
Yeah. I would just get his – I get his Real Madrid jersey. If I was going to – I don't buy jerseys either, but I get that one.
Is it harder to play in the AAU circuit and then a year of college basketball or go pro at 16 in Europe?
I think it's harder to go pro in Europe, I think.
I mean, which is a better training ground for the NBA?
I mean, there's one Luka. I mean, we see so many
right,
kids.
Yeah, but there's a lot of guys that come out.
Yeah, I'm just trying to figure out because we don't see like five guys a year who are really good come from over there.
Well, they're not as athletic. I mean, there's most of the guys that come in and, you know, make their name in the NBA are a hell of a lot more athletic than those Euros.
Yeah. I'm not sure. I would imagine that's a tough one. I don't know.
I don't know. Which is a better training ground?
I mean, I don't know the training as far as, but I feel like Luka seems like a guy who's got, I think they were talking about it, the footwork. Forget about his athletic ability and his craftiness and all the things you might talk about, but just his footwork. That didn't develop here. That developed in Europe. So do you see that type of footwork coming out for young guys at 21 when they come out of the systems over here?
No.
Yeah. I mean, they're skilled. There's no question.
Well,
about
so, you know, my buddy who played overseas, GJ Hunter, he played in like five different countries. He goes, man, the biggest difference is that youth basketball there is skill based, and there's multiple. He said, you practice, even when you're with professional teams, you're expected to practice in the mornings. Like, there's real practice, there's two a days. And everything is about skills. Shooting, ball handling, footwork. He said it's about fundamentals and skills and practice. That's all. It's drill.
They don't have the athleticism.
And G played, you know, two decades ago overseas. And he's like, man, I'm telling you. He goes, overseas basketball players, he just said, they're way better than people think. The brand of basketball is way better in a lot of countries right now.
Yeah.
Although he got punched in the face in Russia for looking at a girl by Russian mobsters. He's like, I don't think I want to stay in Russia.
No.
This isn't fun. And he also said, I couldn't get my hair cut because they have a different type of, you know, adapter. I didn't know that going over to Russia. So I had my natural was just, he said, it was so janky. He said, man, Russia.
No, we ain't doing Russia.
I'm done with Russia.
It was funny after the game, you know, Charles was all superlatives about Luka, you know, and Shaq was slow down. Just slow down, Charles. What do you mean? Look how great he is. Yeah, well, you were saying, weren't we? Is he better than James Harden? Okay. Is he better than LeBron? We were talking this week about Damian. Last week, Damian Lillard was this guy. So let's just slow down.
Well, Luka's 21. Relax, Chuck.
Yeah.
I mean, relax, Shaq.
He's 21, but, you know, and oh, but the superlatives of him being, yeah, but whether or not he's going to be an all-time, we'll see.
Well, the question is, forget about comparing him to 35-year-old LeBron or 30 James Harden, is he better than them at 21?
Yeah, I don't know about LeBron. But I think
James.
The thing is, do you expect him to get worse from now? Like, how many players get worse? Like, well, 21,
yeah,
it's as good as it gets.
No.
You're going to be worse by the time you're 24 or 25, said nobody. That's why it is a big deal that he's 21 playing like this, because he's playing on a level with James Harden right now, and he's 21.
Well, he's hitting game winners, and James is sitting on the bench while his team is with his sixth foul, and his team is getting their ass handed to him in overtime. So we'll see. We've got another one today. We'll see.
By the way, you know what else
we got?
Yep.
You know what else we got?
What?
We got Marco and Laura heading our way. Now, Marco's a weak-ass bitch.
Whoa. No, Marco.
Is it a white boy
Marco
hurricane?
Marco weakened, yeah. But it's going to hit us.
Maybe.
Oh, you can hear. I swear to God, I'm pretty sure I saw today a weather report. Well, the outer bands look like we're only going to get about 10 to 20%. But unfortunately, not going to get the hurricane we were expecting.
Unfortunately.
There's still a long time to go. Fingers crossed.
This is like the Super Bowl for the weather people.
Understood.
God,
but do we have a plan here? Like, if it's only a tropical depression type stuff for us here, do we have a plan?
There's still a chance of some severe flooding.
Well,
so
I'll tell you what you need.
Let's see what happens.
I'll tell you what you need when it's hurricane season. You need your roof. You got to make sure that your roof is ready to withstand. And if you've got a weak ass roof, I got the people for you. Caliber Roofing and Exteriors. You've basically got 2 days to have them come to your home, see what's wrong. If you've got any damage, you've got a faulty roof, I'm going to tell you, it's going to leave you with thousands and thousands of dollars in damage. If you haven't checked your roof out, let's go, okay? Because these guys are going to help you out. They're going to make sure that you are taken care of. You have got to give them a call at 713-823-9355. If you have any roof issues at all right now, because we're going to, no matter what, we're going to get rain. and we could get plenty of it, and it could be hard, and it could be damaging. 975roof.com. They use Owens Corning roofing shingles, just the best. You can get affordable monthly payments, no prepayment penalties or home equity required. All you got to do, let's go. We got a hurricane on its way, or at least a tropical storm. 975roof.com, 713-823-9355.
ESPN 975.
Please stand by.
You are listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
During the break, that was being a bitch-ass white boy.
I don't think
are we going to do if there's a hurricane?
No, that's not what I said. I said, do we have a plan in place if there's actually heavy rain?
Yeah, come in.
You're not going to come in.
I'm coming in.
No, you're not.
I'm 3 minutes from here, bro.
You're not going to chance it. If you don't have to, you're not.
Chance it?
You're not going to do it.
We came in after an actual hurricane knocked out the whole city.
Yes.
We didn't even have a transmitter. I don't even know why we're in here.
Chance drove me in his Jeep.
We had no transmitter that even... Why were we on?
Because you're dumb.
Remember the rip? It tore the antenna.
Let me ask you guys something.
Our satellite.
Let me ask you.
Excuse me.
Yes? How long ago was that?
2008.
Yeah, at the beginning when you were energized about this place.
Well, we didn't. Hey, well, you know what else? No. You know what took all the energy
more
away?
Energized
you know what took all the energy away is when, first of all, we had a satellite system that got, because of the wind, got dragged across and scraped up the roof and caused flooding
in the building.
And they had to have emergency crews come to clean it up. You know, they had to come in here and do emergency water soak up and dryers and all this stuff. And we didn't have plumbing, I guess, really working. Mm-hmm. So you know what really sapped the energy is when one of those guys took a giant dump in a urinal in that bathroom. That bathroom, I can't do it.
So all I'm pointing out, as much as you guys like to talk about, we came in, that was a long time ago where there's a different
Del
energy.
Del makes a good point.
Let's be clear. If there's some flooding, we're doing. We're staying home.
Not me.
Okay.
I'll be here.
We'll see.
I'll be here.
I'm not driving a Yukon anymore. I'm in a crossover. They're lower.
I got expedition.
So flooding's a little different for me.
I got an expedition. I can get anywhere.
If Lance says
I got
he
mine
can't,
from Chastang Ford.
So if Lance says he can't make it, and, you know, I live like an hour away, so if I can't make it.
I'll be here.
With doing a show with who?
Yeah, by myself, maybe if I got to.
Can you run the board?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh. No.
No, you can't.
The answer's no.
No, I'll get an intern. I've been doing radio 23 years, and I still wouldn't know how to turn it on.
No idea. You already heard what happened. Bell was on that one time, and I tried.
Yeah, it was a disaster. It's always on. You just have to manipulate to make sure it works.
I don't know. I don't know how to do that. So we'll figure it out, though. No, we'll figure. Don't worry.
Who's we?
We'll carry on.
Who's we?
Me and Captain Ron. Yeah.
Captain Ron, I've seen that operation before when he has to run back and forth to try to get things done. At least
he loves
I've heard
that.
It. It's
he loves
great.
That.
It's not great for him.
He loves that. Captain Ron's all about that. Well, then you know what? We'll just go the whole show without commercials.
No, the whole thought was if you actually had a plan, I mean, a couple of you guys could take a system home. Mm-hmm. And then maybe someone who's close could come up here and do it, but there's no plan. We'll just see how it goes.
Well, we'll see. AJ, our fearless hero, is he even working this week? I don't know.
I don't know. He might be.
He might be. We'll see what our fearless leader thinks about all this.
Has there been a discussion about it yet?
Well, it just popped up.
No, it hasn't. Markham Lore's been a thing since at least middle of last week. It could have came here. At least.
Oh, yeah.
You still
this
got
has
a
been
few
a
days,
thing
though.
For a long time.
No, you still got days.
You weren't here. You were out of town. You didn't know.
Questioning leadership again. There it is.
Well, I'm
probably
sure.
Probably about to get fired again.
Hey, Eric Gordon and James Harden, the last two games are 7-44. That math comes out to
threes.
That comes out to about 16%. That's not going to be good enough to finish off Oklahoma City. Because you're not going to have 50% from Green, McLemore, and P.J. Tucker every game from three. So EG's been a real problem. He's been 2 of 20. James is 5 of 24. Whew. You know what the real problem is? The Rockets' shot selection. Eric Gordon was doing stuff. I mean, seriously, that game at times looked like an all-star game or just a scrimmage that you see. Where was the intensity of getting a good shot or making possessions count in the last 5 minutes of a game? The Rockets were literally, it would be crazy shot from, not really Chris Paul, but Schroeder would take a leaner, and then Eric Gordon would come right back and pull up from 31. Like, there's, have you noticed this? I'm sure you have. This is a thing now where guys are trying to really, because of Dame Lillard, I think, this has really become a thing where guys are trying to shoot from about 30 feet out. That this is their new, I'm going to show that this is my range.
Right.
James did it, and James, now James will hit Gordon. Some of those. Eric Gordon has done it about four times now.
I know.
Hey, Eric, stop.
Maybe you could hit from 26 before you try 30. That'd be great. That'd be great because you're not hitting from anywhere. Go to the basket like you did in game one. That was awesome. Go to the basket, Eric Gordon. That's what, you know what? Russ isn't there. That's what you should do. Go to the basket, take his place, and start hitting guys that are open. Hit Jeff Green. Let Jeff Green take all the threes from now on. I never thought I'd say that. Let Jeff Green take all the threes. But, man, it just seems like dude. Every time dude puts it up.
Jeff Green is one of the great shooters in our bubble Jeff Green. Bubble Jeff Green. Historically. You know, I've been putting these Twitter polls. Who's the greatest shooter of all time? I had Steph Curry, Klay Thompson. This is what I put. And obviously the joke is about Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Ray Allen, Jeff Green. And for Rockets fans, they're all voting for Jeff Green, you know. Everybody else is like, this is why would you not have Larry Bird on? Or like, Reggie Miller, excuse me. No one's even talking about Jeff Green being on the list. They're so mad that and then like, where's Reggie Miller? And I retweeted, I said, who am I going to take off? Steph? Klay? You know, Steph question mark? Klay question mark? And I can't believe how dumb so many people on Twitter are. How they just lack any level of understanding of facetiousness.
Mm-mm.
And so then I did it again. I did another one. Greatest shooter of all time. Reggie Miller in his prime or bubble Jeff Green? Rockets fans put it in the 60s, and people like, whoever is saying Jeff Green is a fool. Reggie Miller was an unbelievable shooter in the playoffs. Like, you dumbasses, are y'all really? Yeah, you really don't see a joke when I say Jeff Green versus anybody?
Oh, no.
I can't do it.
Mm. No, people are too stupid. That's great.
I'm going to do it every game. Every game. Jeff Green versus, you know, I'll go just Jeff Green, Larry Bird next time.
You know, after the first two games, I was like, man, I'm being worried about Oklahoma City. I don't know what the hell we were doing. And then, and no Russ, and you still are taking an overtime. And James is playing like crap. And yet.
James and Eric Gordon.
And yet, you got to be a little worried about the series right now.
Oh, I'm not. Are you?
Well, if Billy Donovan will stop screwing around with his must-have.
Shut up, Dell. Let him
Steven
keep
Adams
it.
And Dort on the floor at the same time lineup. I would get a little concerned if it was the three guards, Dort and Danilo. That's an issue because if you have Dort, a guy who can stay in front of Harden so you don't have to help as much, there are less open threes. But the problem is if you have Adams on the floor, he's always going to be a guy who wants to help. So he can't close out on Jeff Green because he's afraid that he's going to blow by him. So Jeff Green's going to get open looks. And if he does close out, Jeff Green will go right by him.
Well, and here's the thing is what's her name is right, the analyst last
game.
Doris Burke. She was right. She's like, stop helping Dort. He doesn't need any help. You guys are you're leaving guys. My God. In the corner, GA is Gilgeous Alexander is standing there. What in the hell are they getting off of him for to stop somebody who could tie the game and give them the win?
NBA players don't get it. Happened yesterday with
Daniel House is standing in the corner and he comes out half-ass helps on a drive, leaves Gilgeous Alexander wide open in the corner, and he knocks down the three.
Well, I saw people on Twitter talk about not only that, but what happened yesterday. Kawhi drive. They're up by the Mavs are up by two. Kawhi drives into the lane. They leave Marcus Morris alone.
Yes.
Or Markieff, whichever one it is. And he's wide open. You know, a two only ties the game. And you have the ball back with about 9 seconds. NBA players don't like, I don't know if it's a coach thing or an NBA player thing, giving up layups in those situations. Apparently, it's the worst thing in the world. But you know what's worse? Losing. So why would you give up the open three? If he makes the layup, he makes the layup. You get the ball back and go win the game when it's tied.
By the way, James, I get that you have five fouls, but you can play you can give a little more effort in the last 3 minutes against Chris Paul.
Letting them walk to the basket.
Not any type of you gave him no resistance at all. None. I'm not worried about Oklahoma City. I haven't seen one thing from Oklahoma City that concerns me, other than Lou Dort's defense on James. That's what concerns me a little bit. But Oklahoma City really, to me, has not looked like a very good team for three straight games. So, and you're right. And I'm not sure that the Rockets, honestly, I think the Rockets, now, what, for a while I was saying, I'll just keep Russ out of this. They've got a little rhythm going. I don't want Russ to mess this up. But this now with Dort on James being kind of a thing where he's really done a nice job these last two and they're figuring out that that's a tougher matchup for James, that's where Russell Westbrook would be really beneficial. Because then who's guarding Russell Westbrook? Chris Paul, Schroeder, like they've got a problem defensively trying to match up. So this is where Russ probably would help. Now, there's nothing new on Russ, right? We haven't heard anything yet. I haven't heard anything new on Russ. So we'll see.
Well, the thought was if they went on 3-0, you just sit him until the next series. Mm-hmm. But now, if it gets to 2-2.
He's been ruled out certainly for game four.
Yeah, game four. If it gets to 2-2, I mean, you now all of a sudden you got to think, maybe we got to bring him back.
Particularly if game four goes really poorly for
you. Yeah. All right, time to talk about Craig DeSerf. It always goes well for him.
Craig DeSerf and the entire crew over there, I've become friends with a lot of those guys, including Rick Trenner. And I just really like the way that they take care of the people that I send over there. Forget the fact they take care of me and they take care of friends and actually neighbors that I've sent over. I really care about how they take care of you guys because I'm putting my word out there for Gulf Coast Chevrolet Buick GMC. Now, here's the thing. I've known Craig for so long that it doesn't concern me at all. I know that when I tell you, you're going to get great prices, great customer service. I know across the board that's what's going to happen. Their customer service index is always rated the highest in the city. It's because that's what they feel like is the car buying experience is about. Everyone is selling the same type of cars, but what kind of trade-in value are you getting? What kind of sales experience? Do they go the extra mile after the sale? And the answer is yes, across the board for them. You've got great offers going on right now in terms of the programs that are available to you. You can see those programs when you go to LanceZCars.com, and you can see what the selection looks like as they continue to have more inventory come in every single day. For Chevrolets, for Buicks, for GMCs, there is one place. It's out in Angleton, and they can even deliver your car right to your doorstep. Gulf Coast Chevrolet Buick GMC.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
So the website Space City Weather is where Eric Berger is. SpaceCityWeather.com. A lot of people have been posting that they're a great hype-free source. They said this morning at 7:15, good morning, we're continuing to track the severe threat posed by Tropical Storm Laura, and the majority of this post will be devoted to that. We're getting hurricanes, just a word about our weather for Monday and Tuesday, blah, 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 blah. But they talk about Marco, and then they talk about Tropical Storm Laura. He said, here's the deal with Laura. At this time, there is, now, for those who don't know, Marco is the one that's supposed to hit first, but it's supposed to take a very... It's not supposed to hit us, but it is supposed to take a very sharp left turn and run through us with some rain. So we're going to get some rain, but it's not a direct hit. With Tropical Storm Laura, they say, at this time, there's somewhat improving model consensus for where the storm will make landfall Wednesday night or early Thursday, likely between Galveston and the south central Louisiana coast. National Hurricane Center has the storm coming into the coast near Texas-Louisiana border. We do not have nearly enough precision to rule out small to moderate changes in track. And for the Houston region, any small shifts in the track westward will change our local forecast dramatically. put succinctly, along the current track, Houston would only see modest effects in terms of wind, rain, and surge from Aurora landfall in southwest Louisiana. However, a shift 50 miles or more to the west would begin to bring serious effects into Houston. And a shift of 100 to 150 miles would bring potentially catastrophic hurricane into the region. This is entirely within the realm of possibility, and therefore the Houston-Galveston metro area needs to prepare now for landfall and possibly a major one. So we're going to keep track of what the wind looks like. 65-mile-an-hour tropical storm right now. Still has potential to blow up to Category 2, 3, or even 4 hurricane. See, one thing that the weather guys do, and I get it, they have to talk about what the worst-case scenario is. It's just, we're just so used to every worst-case scenario. Like,
yeah.
I get that you don't want to.
We're going to have 2 million deaths.
Yeah, like the pandemic stuff is always, you got, it's like there's a lingering on worst-case scenario. Whatever the percentage is of something happening, that's how long you should give that. If there's a chance, if there's a 3% chance of a Category 4, then give it 3% coverage. Then just say it's not much of a chance of being a Category 4, but it's a possibility. But at this point, it does not look like it's going to develop into a Category 3.
Possible 4.4.
But it's worth noting that this could blow up into a Category 4 and kill a bunch of people. I mean, a bunch of people could drown and die. So
possible
that's something
Cat 4 heading our way.
We got to start preparing for death.
Yeah. Possible Cat 4 tonight at 10.
What?
No, is Laura to, and Tropical Storm Laura, well, for now, but could it become a Category 4 or even a Category 5 hurricane with multiple tornadoes inside of it?
I will say
find
this.
Out tonight at
6. I was over at Channel 13 yesterday, and I will say this. I mean, they're going to, the weather people.
Here we go, Laura. Here we go. No. Stop doing cheers for tropical storms
no,
become
they're
hurricanes,
just being
weather
prepared,
guys.
And they want to make their job is to make sure that the city is prepared.
So, I did have to apologize to Frank Billingsley when he came out with the 50 inches of rain thing. I'm like, Frank, for sake, stop terrifying everyone with your 50 inches of rain thing. And it's like, oh my God, Frank was right. It stalled and rained, and I was like a scared little person in my... Like, oh, please don't get in my house, rain. Please make the rain stop. This is the hardest rain I've ever seen in my life. I'm sitting at home trying to watch Conor McGregor versus Floyd Mayweather on Periscope because I'm like a dummy. I ordered it on satellite. Like a satellite. Like a satellite broadcast is going to make it through a hurricane. What a
that was dumb.
Dummy.
That was dumb. You got to have cable. You have to go somewhere to one of your buddy's house with cable, which is what I did. But so I went over there. Yes, we were over there yesterday. We had to do something. And then immediately, because we did see the weather people all huddling, and they were like, could be bad. We'll see. Okay. So I went to Kroger right away and picked up water, and water was almost all gone.
Oh my God.
The line.
I was in a place.
I'm surprised there was still toilet paper. Because if the first thing you got to have is toilet paper and water.
The water run is serious.
Yeah, I went to Kroger on Saturday night just because I don't like shop. I don't like people, so I just go at night when I don't have to worry about anybody.
All right, good move.
And not that I really wanted it, but I was just perusing the iced tea. I don't know what they're called. Maybe they're gold leaf. It was so people were such in a rush that they took not only the regular iced tea, they took the diet iced tea, they took the low-cal iced tea.
Yeah, it's too much of a rush.
They're like, they just grabbed everything.
They're grabbing iced tea?
Why iced tea?
I don't know why they...
Because you can't make, you won't have water to make iced tea.
Well, and a lot of people like pre-made iced tea anyway.
You can have ice, dummy, if you don't have electricity.
But they
but you keep it
cold. Have coolers and generators
well,
and stuff.
Yeah.
But they cleared it all out. All the iced tea was gone.
Iced tea.
Iced tea.
Why is there a run on iced tea? Well, Why was there a run on toilet paper during pandemic?
We
still don't know. A pandemic? I'm going to be crapping my pants soon. Hurry. I better wipe my ass for 15 straight days. No, it's respiratory and a cough.
Well,
dry cough. What
is,
about ass?
No, there is diarrhea.
Aren't I going to poo real bad?
There is, yeah.
For some. Not a lot.
No, yeah. Well, a bunch of people, they'll get that. That was one of the big.
It's
that was
not
one of the big.
Bad enough to get 50,000 reams of toilet paper.
Well, you don't know how much you're going
to
poop.
What did people think was going to happen to them?
You force supermarkets and grocery stores to be like, all right, only one package per person. Could you guys stop taking every package of toilet paper, please?
Well, what if I got to poop a lot?
Stop eating so much.
No, wait. No. It makes you poop. It gives you,
Well, if there's nothing in there, then how are you going to poop?
Yeah. So don't eat?
Don't eat as much as you were.
That's your reduce your calories. So we ran out of toilet paper, nobody eat.
Reduce your calories. That's all we're saying.
Mm.
By the way, shout out to I mentioned him a couple times, so I want to do it. Shout out to my wife's uncle. 4 weeks on a ventilator, they finally got him off.
Oh, that's crazy.
And the nurse said, we've never seen, they thought he was going to die. They finally told him that, we thought he was definitely going to die. And then they said, he's still in the hospital. I mean, he's been there for now 6 weeks, but he's just learning to sit up. It's going to be another 3 months of learning to be able to walk and breathe without oxygen.
And they had to feed him through the tube.
Oh, yeah. Really, really bad. But they said, he has, I guess, diabetes, and he's a little overweight, and he's older. And I don't know about that, but he surprised everyone on a Zoom call. They were able to show him with everyone who was getting together. But they said they had not seen somebody with his underlying conditions make it, who was in there for that long. So that was he was against all odds. So I get to watch it firsthand to see how Uncle Steve progresses now. But I know the family's just so, so excited and so happy. But it is a long, long process coming back now, too. That's only just part of it. So we got to see what happens with his lungs and heart and all that afterwards. But the first thing is you got to get off the ventilator. That was the first thing.
Yep. Good for him. Good for him. All right. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. The number if you'd like to get in here on ESPN 97.5.
Talk about Earl Thomas when we get back?
We got to talk about Texans on the other side. We haven't even touched on that yet. So let's do that. But right now, though, I want to talk about Francesca. Francesca was starting a new job as a teacher. She wanted to move closer to her school. So she wanted to sell her home. 13 showings and 4 offers in just 4 days. She got $6,500 over list price. This is happening every day. Now, you don't want to go through all that? Okay, that's fine. Because Lance Loken with the Loken Group at Keller Williams Platinum will give you an immediate cash offer without the large hidden fees. You skip the prepping showings and open houses. You don't have to do any of that. Okay. He is the agent in Houston you need to call if you want to buy or sell your home, whatever the case may be. And now I'm going to tell you what, it is a seller's market. There's so many people out there that want to buy for whatever reason. There are buyers out there, buyers, buyers, buyers. So you're going to have it like an auction like effect on your home. And oh, by the way, if you are an agent, Lance was last week, the week before he was looking for him. I don't know if the job's still open, but I'll tell you this. He said, I talked to him. Really great guy too, by the way. Great guy. And you'll love doing business with him. He says, if somebody out there needs a job, this is the best place to work. 281-861-4624. TheLokenGroup.com. LOKEN. TheLokenGroup.com. 281-861-4624. The number one team in the entire state of Texas and number two in the world in volume and homes sold. These are the people we want to be with. They have the most buyers. So if you're selling your home, this is the way to go. TheLokenGroup.com, 281-861-4624.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5, broadcasting safely with our masks from Boomer Naturals.
Order now at BoomerNaturals.com and use promo code ESPN Houston for 20% off.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save